This is the Hear Hear podcast. Today we interviewed Johnny O'Connor from Windham Mountain Inn and Onboard Initiative. Thank you for listening. Tonight we are joined in the studio by a local legend, born and raised, business owner, board aficionado, our boy Johnny O'Connor. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Jesse.
Yes, sir.
Pleasure to be here after hearing it from your brain and to now see the mics and the headphones.
Yes, sir.
What a really cool way to have my first podcast as well. So do it with you. So
yes, sir. So for all of the listeners, Johnny O was one of the first ones to know about this concept of the podcast, and he said, "You better do it. Let's go." So let's get into it, Mr. Johnny. So give us a little bit of your history in Windham, born and raised, board sports. From what age? What age kicked it off?
I think 7 years old. My sister Maggie was really into it. And I was kind of attaching on to things that she was into, and that was one of them. She got a skateboard for Christmas. I got a skateboard for Christmas, a little plastic Goosebumps, those novel boards. I actually still have it. I just have this little concrete pad outside one of the sheds outside my house. And I just stood on this thing and was into it. She thought it was cool, so I thought it was cool. You know, we started getting some snowboard videos for Christmas, and to just start seeing a little bit more of what that world looked like outside of what this thing was in front of me was very eye-opening. So I immediately became very attached to what was going on outside in the world with this toy, this extension of myself that I consider it now, and became completely obsessed. I mean, I started at 7, wasn't far after that where it was all I wanted to do, and I would spend hours and hours and hours, day in and day out, no responsibilities, nothing to do other than go to school and come back and just skate all by myself. I did it all by myself, from skating to snowboarding. I didn't really have anyone to do it with in this little town, Windham. Not many people did it back then at all. So, you know, I didn't care. I didn't need anyone. And the obsession just became greater by the year.
When did you start? So you started off skating. When did you saw snowboard videos?
Yeah.
When did you get on your first board? Snowboard.
So it was not long after. You know, we might have even got the skateboard a year or two before or after, but the snowboard was around 7 to 9, I would say.
Oh, man.
I asked my parents if I could try it out, and then my aunt was like, "No, you need to get a lesson first." You know, she was just like, "This is
safety first."
Cautious, wanted me to, like, get a proper lesson, and I did. I went up, I got a lesson up at Windham Mountain, and you know, I tried it out, and I didn't want a lesson. I remember, like, there are certain memories that I have as a kid that are ingrained into my brain that I will never forget. And one of them is when I was on the bunny hill at Windham Mountain, I'm getting a lesson from this guy, prior to that, I had my only experience was renting from Snowbird, which is now Olivia's wine and liquor store, from Jerry. So she was the one who gave me my first snowboard, we bought a rental, and I would just snowboard down the snowbanks outside of the bar and restaurant. And I just remember, this is another memory I have of saying to my sister, like, "People would pay to see this. Like, this is so cool." Or, you know, just thinking that it was just
the best.
Like a show, you know, just would ride down snowbanks. And then, you know, I went to this lesson, and I just didn't like having any structure or someone telling me what I needed to do, because at that time I was also playing team sports, ice hockey, soccer, baseball. I think team sports are good, but for me, I could not go by the structure of uniforms, practice, scrimmages, driving there when I'm not in the mood to do it at that point. I want to do something when I want to do it.
The freedom and creativity.
Exactly. So
yeah,
I really latched on to it. So I remember being on this hill, on the bunny hill, and looking up the mountain, and I see this little figure, just a very small dot, going down warm up, and right next to D-lift. And I see this person, this little dot, hit this jump and grab their board and then land. And I got, like, meanwhile, I have some guy telling me, hey, you got it, blah, 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 blah. And I'm, like, looking at this guy catch air for the first time I've ever seen it with my own eyes in real life. And I remember thinking, that's what I want to do. So from there, I mean, I don't know what I did with the lesson from there, but I think I was probably like, yo, I'm out. I got to go. And then that was the only lesson I've ever had. Then there was another day where I went up and I said, I'm not taking a lesson. I'm doing this on my own. And I remember going down White Way, and there was a point where I could not stop spinning on my snowboard. Like, I just did not know how to turn. I didn't know how to control this thing underneath me. I was literally spinning nonstop. And I just remember being like, what is going this? Oh my God, what's going on? How do you control this thing? And then all of a sudden I the next run, it started to click a little bit more. And then I just like learned how to like turn. And then I started going over across the street to the golf course where I would just hike the hills and just ride down them. And my sister was there with our old video camera that we dug up out of some old box that my mom used to have. And she had actually, it was funny. She would film me, and, you know, we dug this thing up out of some box. We didn't know how it worked. We just charged the battery, turned it on. It was zoomed in all the way. And she actually has my first 360 ever done filmed.
No way.
And I've looked for the tape. I can't find it. I probably taped over it, but I hope someday to come across that.
Yeah.
I do have that also ingrained in my memory of that clip where she was standing like 200 feet away because it was zoomed all the way in and she didn't know how to zoom it out. And so it's a shaky,
grainy
video. Yeah, where she's like, yeah, you're good. And I just like built this little jump and did it. And
what year was that?
This is early.
This is
early 2000s.
The early Johnny era, dude.
I mean, 2000. It could have been the 19s. I don't know. But no, early 2000s, I'd say. So I thought that was really cool to like be able to see a clip and play it back and just see yourself on video. And, you know, it was these Hi8 videotapes.
Mm-hmm.
So we would continue by going over to the golf course and, like, film just jumping off little things over little branches, building little jumps. And I became really attached to that aspect of snowboarding, of building it and doing it on your own rather than just going up to the resort and utilizing whatever they have.
Yeah.
It just, from the start, always DIY, do it yourself. Build it and film it.
Earn it.
And then started getting into the editing and, you know, in putting together videos, which really helped me get familiar with that. And so I bought my own video camera. And then it wasn't long after that where I started to meet some local kids around town, because at the time I was going to school in Albany. So I was a little disconnected from Wyndham growing up through middle school, high school. But through high school, I started to meet some of the local guys in town. And we started a group called the Grease Monkeys. And I could pull up footage for you guys. It was awesome. We would just go into Main Street every Saturday and Sunday at 9 in the morning or whatever time it was, bright and early. Go to the country store, the Valero.
Yep.
Everybody gets their gallon of water, their bag of chips, and we skate all day. We did that for a handful of years until, you know, we were skating all over, where we pretty much got on the nerves of some people where they were like, what are these kids doing? They're skating in the middle of the street. They're creating a skate park outside of what is now the local, but we would build ramps and then store them behind the building on the weekdays, and then or when it was a bank, and then on the weekends we would, like, that was our hangout spot. We would hang out under the stairs, we'd bring the ramps out, and we just would turn that parking lot into a skate park.
And you hid the ramps behind the bank.
Yeah. And we like even made it like into a living room. Like, we had like chairs and benches and like we posted and no up. It was hilarious. Like, we just, you know, as kids, you just do. Like, the world is yours. You just make it however you want. And so that's what we were doing. And, you know, I had my video camera and my crew. We had about 12 of us, all who are.
Are there any tags anywhere on the back of the bank?
You could find you might be able to find some on YouTube. Oh, you mean, like, oh, tags on the bank. Like
somebody, like the grease monkeys left their mark. Is there like a scratch on the back?
There might be like a scratch on some wood if you look like underneath the deck. I mean, I hope nothing too bad. But if anything,
the grease monkeys were here. Yeah,
but we never did anything bad other than wax up like some.
Well, you brought your own features.
Yeah.
I mean, how much better can you get?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were respectful. Yeah. Kids, you big know, time. But like, we were also trying to get clips. Like, we would know, like, oh, like, we got to go to the Tadero's Gap, the Key Bank Gap, the Bank Gap, and, you know, like, the school. And we were wild and free. And, you know.
Like, you had your zones. You had your zones all around town.
Yes, yes. And it was such an incredible time. And we filmed it all. That was just what we did. You know, the crew started thinning out a little bit, people getting interested in other things. So I would just do what I could to try to hold on to those people that still wanted to do it. Like, yo, we're going skating. Get in the car. Now I got a license. Hop in. We're going. So, yeah, it got to a point where, you know, the town started noticing skateboarders, and they helped us form a committee. Jerry Miltenberger and Ann Jakubowski. They helped us do some fundraising, which got us the skateboard ramps that we use now today for the Onboard Initiative events.
Still in use.
Yeah. But that's where those incredible. That's where those came from. And at the time, Windham Mountain let us post them up at the old skating rink, which is where they had the summer adventure park, where there was paintball, rock climbing, skate park.
And in the wintertime.
And that kind of fizzled out where, you know, they kind of got neglected, just put to the side and weathered because, you know, there
everybody's
was not
focus,
really any use
the focus
for them
changes
and,
for a bit.
And so there's a pretty big gap in time. Where,
well, let's talk about that gap in time, because, I mean, you left town and pursued a bit of a career.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about board sports career.
Yeah, I mean, I as I said, every year I'd get more attached to it, more obsessed with it. It's all I cared about. I didn't care about anything else. I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to go to college. Well, I mean, I was like, I'm going to get through high school and I'm going to pursue this. My dad, Jimmy, was like, you can either pursue your snowboard career and you're not going to have our support, or you go to college and we're going to support you. And then you can, you know, try to do both.
Do
and
thing.
I said, all right, I'll try and do both. So I went to college, Plymouth State University up in New Hampshire. I gave it a shot, and that's where I met my crew. You know, we started a video production company called Keep the Change, and
legendary.
That really was a lot of different talents from all over the East Coast that just happened to be connected in this area at the same time. And we were all dreamers, you know. We went for it, and we were a professional amateur crew.
Yeah,
like, the professionals were looking at us like, oh, geez, like, yeah. Watch out for these guys.
Well, it goes back to that original thought. It was earned.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody sat by the sidelines. Everybody put work in and earned that space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'd all had done our work prior to that to get to that point. It was the universe that put us there at that time and place where we, you know, had our gathering of friends just sitting around talking about what we can do.
What's the move?
And we did it. So it's still, it holds a special place in my heart now. And I went to college, graduated, and just pursued snowboarding in the meantime. You know, I would do half of my year online, during the winter where I would just do my traveling and filming full time and then just bring my schoolwork with me on the road at a hotel. I just poured my heart and soul into it 100%. And, you know, for school, I was like, all right, I'm just going to get through this and do it. Like I cared about it and I'm glad I did it. I learned a lot from it and the connections I made were they helped structure me into who I am today. But at that time, at the end of the day, it was just, I want to film tricks. I want to be a professional. I want to, you know, do my best for myself. It was always like for myself, like just driven from within. It wasn't for anything else.
Yeah. For the love of the sport.
That was before Instagram. Yeah. That was before social media blew up where you're working your ass off to put together a movie that you can look back for the rest of your life. Because I've always wanted to do that. I just want to like put my best in for that year that I can look back on for the rest of my life and just think, man, what a great time that was. It was never
earned it. Yeah.
There was no followers back then. There was no likes and shares. It was, you did it because you were driven to do it for
the love of the sport. The love of the sport.
You know, that paid off those years of doing it at that time. And then the bigger companies started noticing and they started, you know, supporting more. And that structure that we had with our movie production crew just sprouted us into these professional careers, which, you know, I've had for quite some time and led me into some amazing directions that it seems like a lifetime ago now, but was really a dream come true.
And, I mean, just to be clear on that, it's like you were a professional athlete who traveled and put the work in and earned your place and, you know, solidified your position in the sport.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really crazy to look back on being a part of some movie projects with some of the people that I looked up to since I was just getting into it. And then being a kid looking up and seeing a video of this pro rider and like Travis Rice, for instance, you know, you're like, oh my God, like that guy is so incredible. And then next thing you know, you see that you're in a video with him and you're like, wait a minute. Now I'm in like China and Japan and I'm like taking all these fan photos. This is crazy. Like, who am I?
Yeah. Yeah. All those years of work come play out and you're like, ah.
Yeah. It happened pretty quick. You know? Yeah. I mean, it was definitely put in the work to get there, but you know, it ended pretty quick too. That was a decision I made.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like, that's why it seemed like it was such a flash in time because it was the build up to it. And then it like blew up. And then it was just after my father passed away and we were getting ready to sell our place. I had to make that decision. It was either continue the snowboard career or move back to Wyndham
and find your base. Like,
try to hold on to something special that I have a vision for. And with the help of some friends, I made that conscious decision to say, I'm going to leave this dream that I worked my whole life for behind. And I'm going to continue on to this other thing that's completely in the opposite direction. And I'm going to go with that because I think that has more purpose for
not in the long game.
Yeah. Because, you know, being a professional athlete can be a little selfish in a way where you have to be self-promoting. You always have to be your career depends on your physical performance where it's not all just who you are and what you're doing. It's, oh, well, your trick was not done that good. So, you know, you're not that great where, you know, it was a great life, but it wears on you because you put yourself through a lot of physical damage through that time. So going in this other direction has grounded me to a different level.
How long have you had the idea for Onboard Initiative?
Well,
not in name per se, but in concept.
I mean, honestly, I didn't have it at all until I got a random call from Ann Jakubowski, and she had heard Jerry Miltenberger heard an ad on Rip 97 from Jay that was talking about the adaptive skateboard program that we volunteer for. me, Frank Cabrera, and Leo Waldron, and Jay was just talking about it, about the program, and raising awareness for it. Jerry heard about that. She contacted Ann, who contacted me from the community of Wyndham Foundation, because they wanted to show a little support for it. And so that just brought my thought to, well, if you want to show support, like, you know, we should make this something for everyone. So that was the immediate thought, where I wasn't planning on doing this. I've always wanted to do something for Wyndham, like try to get a skate park built or have my involvement in the community in whatever way I can, but not really having a direction for that idea. You know, I always knew that I could help out, but yep. It was when that phone call came through that I thought, okay, this is something coming towards me that I need to create something out of this. So I immediately called my buddy Frank Cabrera after that phone call, and I said, Frank, we need to start something. We need to do it now. And he said, I'm in. Let's do this. And from there, it was in. We were in. And then I called Leah, and because they were the two that would always show up to the adaptive programs and always be there. So they were the ones who put their volunteering time in that I knew were going to be the solid teammates to make this. That was our team.
Already
so
proved.
So I already knew who to go to. And so we met up. We talked about it, and we said, let's do it. And so from there, it was just starting to create this idea of a brand and what we stand for and how to put a perspective into people's minds when they think of the word skateboarding or snowboarding.
Yeah.
Because before that, you know, they might think, we need this, or, you know, but then when you actually have those events and experiences with people, I know that very well, that not just a day, a moment can change your life. And that's happened to me enough in my life where I like to share that. And I've seen it coaching at a High Cascade snowboard camp out in Oregon, where I was a camper back in the day, where I remember that feeling of being a kid looking up to the older generation and people that were better and smarter than me, that I would say, man, like, that person like talks to me, like they think I'm cool. They believe in me. What? I'm just some kid. Like, I remember that feeling. So when I've had that connection of like, damn, someone actually believes in me, like that, it was huge. So I've always known from that, those moments, that you give back
big time.
And just to give back, because you never know, that kid might have that moment or that day that just completely changes their direction.
Yeah. Well, to give like a full explanation of what the vision is, give us a rundown of one of the events that you guys put together. So you, Frank, and Leah.
Yeah. So Onboard Initiative started, you know, our mission was to get a skate park built. And we thought, how do we do that? We host an event where we can introduce skateboarding to town and do it where we eliminate the barriers to entry. We get all the skateboards, we get all the pads, we get the coaches, we get everything in order, just so you just show up. You don't need anything. You just show up and you're covered. You sign a waiver and you got a coach right there ready to help you. So that's what we did. We did an intro to skateboarding day for our first event, and that was a great turnout. We had 40 plus kids sign up for it.
Where did you guys have that?
We did that at CD Lane Park.
So that's a town park in Wyndham that the town supervisor helped with, Tom White, set up all the access and making sure everybody could get in. The facilities were good to go.
Yes.
So the town stepped in big time.
Absolutely.
On that.
Yeah. Yeah. A huge thank you to the community of Wyndham Foundation, the Wyndham Foundation, the Rotary Foundation, Tom Hoyt, the whole town, Seasons Skate Shop, and everybody else who just helped make that happen.
Right off the bat, too.
And Wyndham Mountain, they let us have all the ramps. So we grabbed all the ramps from their property. We brought them over to my house. We cleaned them up, tuned them up, and we brought them over there, and just a pop-up park. And we brought them out after the event, It was just an electric day. It was so awesome.
What was your turnout again?
I mean, it was like 40 plus.
Oh, that's for the first event.
Yeah.
Just to show who's interested. For the first event, 40 people were ready to go.
Right.
Yeah.
And at the time, we were a little understaffed too, but like the second event, we had solid staff, and that's how we're always going to do it. You know, we have such a powerful generation within my age or our age, you know, in their 20s and 30s and 40s that are filling that gap that's been there for quite some time, because as Wyndham's been, it seems, is that there would be, once kids get out of high school, they want to get out. And then, you know, there might be the 50 plus that are around, but now we're seeing this gap get filled in more with these people that want to be around, that have all this energy and all this inspiration to like give back and do what we can to build the community. And in our generation, everybody's looking for something to cling on to attach to. And so this is just only an excuse for us to get together more for everybody.
For everyone.
Know?
Yeah.
The more we can work together as friends, the better. And that's honestly everybody's dreams. Do cool things with your friends.
Yeah. The second event, after the word was put out about how successful the first one was, I mean, people just came out of the woodwork. I mean, people were driving up from all over the place to show face and to coach, and they were helping, you know, people that they'd never met before drop in on the mini ramp and helping the kids skate across, and, you know, kids who had never skated before in their life. And then, just creating that atmosphere of learning and growth, and really comes the community involvement. And that's what it was. The skate community just showed up. Not only did Wyndham show up, you know, the community in Wyndham, but the skate community just showed up.
Oh yeah.
For that.
Oh, I mean, the connections, whether you step on a board that day or not, are incredible. You know, if someone's there just to help give out ice cream or help someone get some pads lined up or put some burgers out, thank you also to the Hensonville Hose Company that was there to make burgers and give out sodas and waters. Anything that we can do to just bring people together is special, because we need more of it. When you can do it outside and there's activity going on and people are laughing and smiling, how can you go wrong?
I mean,
it's just,
can't get better than that.
You can't. And
so, time of year, we're kind of going into the winter, so we're getting back on our snowboards. But what's the thought for next year? What's our future plans looking like for onboard?
Yeah, well, we started this as we thought, well, we have to do snowboarding if we're going to do skateboarding, because that's just the life that we live. We skateboard in the summer, we snowboard in the winter. We have to do something. So there's been some ideas put out there. Nothing's solidified yet, but I've been starting to reach out to my sponsors that I've had in my career to start getting some product in and some support to be able to offer that as to the kids of the WAJ school as rentals, in a way, to host an event and say, hey, look, here's a board and a binding and boots that you can use, and we're going to teach you how to ride.
Again, I think what was the term you used earlier, like barrier to entry?
Yeah, breaking the barrier to entry.
Breaking the barrier to entry. So, like, take away any excuse you can come up with, because we've got your gear covered, we've got your coach covered.
You get a free pass as a WAJ student. So
come on now.
If you're not utilizing that, then you should really consider it, because you have, in my opinion, one of the best resorts on the East Coast right in your backyard. If you're getting a free pass there, try it out.
Use it.
Contact us if you don't have the equipment or if you need any assistance. Contact Onboard Initiative. We're here for people 24/7. Anyone.
Yeah.
So,
and there's no excuse. There's breaking the barrier to entry is like, there's no excuse. We're covering all the bases. Get you on the snow.
Yeah, get out there.
Yeah.
And have some fun. Like, meet some people. Like, get excited, fall down, get hurt, do all those things that make you feel like a human, you know? Like, when people talk about falling and they're like, oh, it's like, fall, but I don't want to fall. It's like, hey, fall while you can.
Yeah.
Like,
like, if you're not doing it unless you're falling.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, same.
I love falling. I love getting hurt, and, you know, because it just makes me feel alive. Those are the lessons that you feel, you know? It's just not like, oh, just get back up and do it again. It's like, no, you actually have to get off the ground, try it again until you land your trick or your turn or whatever it is that you're working on. And it builds character.
So what does that look like, getting people on the snow? Are we looking at doing events similar to the Onboard Initiative skate event?
Yeah, that's the idea. Our thoughts is to keep it similar to skateboarding, where everybody's in the same area, all within view of each other, to keep it all, just keep the energy within, because when you're going up the trail, going up the, you know, down the trail, up the lift, and you're getting disconnected from a big group of people, it's, you get into your little groups and then you know, it's easy to lose track of people. So our thoughts are to keep it within the Bunny Hill. Make little features that even a beginner who's at their first day, they might be able to learn a trick on, you know? So I brought the idea up to the mountain. We've been in a little bit of a discussion, but we got some more planning to do. And we're hoping to make it work where, you know, we can work with the coaches up there and just make an area for a day where we just have a zone. And that's going to be open to everyone as well. You know, it's not going to be a restricted area for just the people part of the event, but we got some logistics to work out.
But that's important. I think a learning environment like that is very important, because a lot of our takeaway from a sport like a skate snowboard sport is learning by observing. So especially for people new into the sport, that you can learn by seeing somebody make a turn or hit a box or catch an air and do a sick grab and warm up, like, you
right,
that's what sparks the, oh man, I want to get to that level, I want to do
absolutely
that,
absolutely,
is it, which is at the skate event at CeeDee Lane, just watching the kids watch each other, where you have an environment that is built for, like, that's what it's structured for, is for celebration of growth, for celebration of, talk about falling and getting back up again. It's if that's not a metaphor for life, I mean, the kids learn to celebrate it, and they celebrate it together. And I think those small moments of growth in a new sport, and even, I mean, even for those of us who've been in the sport for 20 something years, to have those little moments that you share with a group and you share with your friends and you celebrate together, and it doesn't matter if you're doing a backflip or you're hitting your first box.
Yeah.
It gets celebrated the same.
Absolutely. Yeah. I get just as fired up, if not more, just seeing someone learn a new trick than I do for myself just learning a new trick, you know? And yeah, to see those moments of those kids connecting, where they're both, they're learning at the same time and they're feeding off each other. And, you know, to see that shyness at first, and after they get comfortable, and then you just see this internal personality explode and excitement.
Well, let's get into this a little bit, because for anybody who's unfamiliar, you're not a stranger to putting on an event.
Yeah.
How long has your event at Window Mountain been going?
Mash and Bash. I think it's going to be our ninth year.
And there was a little holdup during COVID.
We didn't do COVID year, 2020.
Yep.
So it would have been our 10th year this coming season. So hopefully next season is going to be a big one, you know, 10 years.
And that's the same exact environment that we're talking about is, and just, you have the age range is from kids that would be at the skate event or, you know, who are going to hop on a snowboard this year and learn for the first time, yeah, to some of the old heads.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, some of us are reaching status of old head.
Right.
You know, but
from babies to old heads. Everybody's connecting and just all within the same environment. And it's all just like
a jam. Yeah. A jam session format, yeah, where it's just everybody's in each other's space and feeding off of each other.
Right.
And also, well, you had mentioned doing the adaptive sports skate day, but you're also pretty ingrained with Shred Foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. I've known Danny for quite some time. I remember the first time really meeting him, and my gosh, if you ever got a hug from that guy, you will never forget it. It is the biggest hug you will ever receive. And I remember that hug very clearly when I was like, oh my gosh, this guy has the biggest heart ever. Yep. Danny Harrison, he runs Shred Foundation. He pours his heart and soul into the community. And the fact that Windham Mountain is supporting that program,
continuing
really
to support, yep,
shows so much. Like, that is something that we all need to appreciate so much from them, because that is such a great program to allow these kids, underprivileged kids who don't have the access to going to a ski resort and having all the equipment and getting up the travel, the lift tickets, the food. Windham Mountain provides so much for these people to just get that experience, and they get hooked on it and they want to be a part of it. And then they want to work in the snowboard community, in the industry. And then that's how we get people involved, is by breaking that barrier. And Windham Mountain Club has been such a great help with doing that. So a big thank you to them.
Huge
for
shout
their
out
support.
To them for that. Yeah, for continuing a program.
Yeah.
You know, in the midst of change is
right.
Continuing to support a program that's been at the mountain for,
yes,
I don't know how
nine
for,
years.
For
nine. Shred has been around for 9 years. I don't know how long they've been going up to Windham Mountain. I don't know how long they've been going up to Windham Mountain, but yes, with everything going on, they've been still supporting. And
it's amazing.
And you know, it's similar to adaptive, where it's just, you break those barriers down. You say, come on in. This is like, we need a space for everyone. And so, a lot of respect to them.
Creating and those, you know, for somebody like yourself, like a passionate lifetime in this sport, to be able to share it and create that space again, right, and create that connection again. And
With the companies that also worked with Shred Foundation, that used to be the sponsors that I would ride for, Capita Snowboards, Union Bindings, Cole Headwear, they work directly with Shred. So to have that connection, that the mountain also carries them. Well, I'm not sure if they
carry a number of the brands. Yeah, they do. They carry a number of the brands. Yeah.
So it's just a perfect, perfect dynamic that that they have, and that we all have with, that we share with the mountain. So yeah, it's a great program, and we hope to just keep it going. So big thank you to Danny for doing what you do.
Yes, sir.
Anyone who knows him.
Again, that Shred Foundation, anybody interested in looking them up, a great program that they're running as well. Where do people find information on Onboard Initiative, upcoming events, to become involved?
Our most updated social media platform is Instagram, which you can find us on onboard.initiative. We also have a Facebook page, Onboard Initiative. Facebook.com/ something like that.
It should be easy enough to find on Facebook. Yeah, Onboard Initiative.
Yeah, I got some tuning up to do with some of the social media platforms. You know, I'm like not that great at them, but
well, for having just kicked off the concept since this summer, I mean, the quality of, and again, this is people stepping in to support what you have going, the quality of the media content that has come out is phenomenal. If you guys haven't seen some of the videos that came out from the events, they're incredible. I think they capture the entire spirit of it. Give us an Instagram again.
Yeah, onboard.initiative.
Onboard.initiative on Instagram. Keeps you up to date when programs are coming together, when the events are coming together. Stay tuned in with that. And if there's people looking to volunteer too, I mean, that's what this is based off of is,
yeah,
this, you know, putting the time in.
Whether you're looking to volunteer or you want to bring baked goods or bottled water.
The kids need snacks.
Bring it all.
Like, kids need snacks.
Everybody has a purpose in Onboard Initiative. No matter what you're into, you like to do art, we can find a way to bring art into it. You like to cook or just be there.
Just be there and
say, hey, what can I do? And you want to be connected. We're one big group of friends and basically a family that we're just bringing it together. Now we have something that we all can connect with.
Yeah. So, and there's no shortage of thank yous in that space either. I mean, the gratitude for every moment at those events is just clear.
Oh, yeah.
It's clear.
Oh,
it's just,
man.
You get paid in smiles and high fives.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm like,
name a better currency.
Totally. There's times where I'm just trying to hold back tears. Yeah. Not to be like, oh my God, this is so beautiful right now. Like,
yeah.
Seeing these moments, you know, like seeing the parents and listening to them tell me about how their kids need a skateboard ramp at their house now. And like how they need to go buy a board. And
you know, as this continues to grow and expand, what's a direction you would like to see it go? What's something that you'd like to see come out of this?
Well, now, you know, working with the Wyndham Foundation a little bit and just seeing what they've done with this acquisition of this property over in Hensonville is really sky's the limit in my view. You know, there's a lot of things that still need to be worked out. Like, all I can do is just give what I can, and I don't have any big expectations. I'm just gonna keep putting forward my beliefs and my efforts to try to make it a special place. You know, hopefully Onboard Initiative is putting that good perspective into people's minds of what skateboarding really is and what this
and what the love for it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it's all wheeled sports too. It's not just skateboarding. We specialize in skateboarding, so that's why we're branded skateboarding.
You're one of them. Yeah, you're just
But that's, you know, a space to teach a kid how to ride a bike or a scooter, rollerblades, you know, any type of other.
That isn't the bank parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
We don't want to hide ramps behind the bank anymore. Can we have a permanent location?
Yeah. Something beautiful that incorporates landscaping. It's not just your typical, you know, foundation with some different ramps placed that's kind of an eyesore. We have a vision that is something very beautiful that is going to be something that people would just even go there to read a book and just watch people enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
And meet someone that they've never met before, where there's no fee, there's no barrier. You show up and there's no cost and you make a connection, you learn something and you better yourself. That's what we're pushing for and what we hope to see.
And on a big picture thing, I mean, any encouragement to be outside and enjoying the freedom and the outdoors up here is like, pick your sport and get outside.
Yeah.
And just having a space that's especially set for that.
Right.
And encourages it. I mean, just again, I keep coming back to it, but watching the kids at your event and seeing them just wholesale, just loving it, being outside, ripping around, falling, getting back up, back into it. It's got to remind you of a young Johnny sending it over and over and over again.
Yeah. Now, there was one kid there that when I saw him show up, he was very shy. I was just trying to teach, like get him into it. And it took a little bit of time. And by the end of it, he was exploding with his personality. And that reminded me of myself, where I'm a very shy. Growing up, I was a very shy, antisocial, kind of just to myself. I didn't want to open myself up to anybody. But skating, snowboarding helped me just be who I want to be and express myself. So to see that in that day was something that that kid reminded me of myself. And that's why I was like, man, like, that's so cool. Cause
that's it.
Yeah.
That's the goal. Be the dude that you looked up to when you were that age.
Right.
That set the tone for the rest of your career. That's exactly. Amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's awesome.
Being at that event, I mean, I was there for 5 hours. There was always kids skateboarding nonstop. And now my nephews are addicted to skateboarding. Sorry.
Yeah. They're addicted. Yeah. They showed up into the restaurant with their skateboards.
They did.
Skateboarding inside the restaurant. And that is exactly what I would be doing if I was them too. I loved that so much. That, like,
my brother had to go to his house to get those skateboards.
Yeah.
Like, he had to. Like, my parents brought the kids to the restaurant for trivia night. My brother had to drive after work, go to the house to grab the skateboards so they could show Johnny and be like, hey, we got our skateboards. Watch what we could do.
Yep.
That
and their friends so are addicted cool. to it, too. It's that not just them. So it's, cool. it's their friends, too, man. It's amazing.
That's it. That's it.
You're starting an initiative that is showing really good things about this.
Yeah. Thing. We're just getting started, too. So,
yeah.
You know, I haven't heard much about what's going on outside, like after the event, but you know, I'm hoping that they're out there doing it and thinking about it because we've only had two events so far, and hopefully they'll be showing up for the winter and showing up for the snowboard events because we want to make this a year-round program and just keep giving back, man. Because they're the future. They're the ones who are going to be stepping up in time to, you know, work around town and becoming managers and owners and
yep, the next generation. It's like
they're going to be running this
build them up
town.
Yep, build them up
in the future. So
yeah,
we got to make them proud to be where they're from, and that's something that we're seeing more now is with the development of what's going on in town. Is people are becoming more proud of where they're from, you know, because as we know, growing up, we wanted to just get out as soon as we could to just experience the world, which is important, but it is a very special town that we have here. And so we're the generation right now to inspire that younger generation.
In the place to inspire.
Yeah, I'm from Windham or Greene County, and we love it here.
Yeah. So for people who want to support Onboard Initiative, so let's say financially, What's our avenue?
So we have a GoFundMe right now that is linked in our social media outlets. You can find us. We are actually working on a pamphlet right now that we're going to be distributing around that will have the QR code that you can scan and then be able to directly donate to. But we're a completely community supported operation. We can only do what we can, yeah. You know? We put our own efforts and our money into it, but realistically, you know, we're not a nonprofit right now. We don't have the means to really be structured that way. I don't really even know how it works too well to get to that point.
Because it's a build. We're building right now.
Yeah. This is just a passion project that we wanted to get going, and it's all through donations.
All through donations. And even again, shout out to Seasons for their support and giving discounts on product and setting you guys up with gear and everything.
Yeah.
But it still costs. Right. It still costs to have, again, barrier of entry, to overcome that barrier of entry so these kids can come in and have nothing holding them back.
Right.
So it's not a free endeavor to have all of that at your fingertips accessible.
Right.
So,
like, we're not looking to make any money. We're just looking to utilize what we have and just to keep building it.
Yeah.
And
it's a build.
We want to make special events and just keep it going. And who knows where it's going to go, but you know, we work with these nonprofits and we are going to just try to learn what we can in any avenue that we can and just keep pushing our mission forward. Yeah. We're just working right now.
There's no real direction. Man. Yeah.
There's no real direction. It's just we're doing.
Yep.
Join us. And if you want to support, then that just helps us keep going because without support, if we don't have any, if we don't have any budget to work with, and it's like, hey, sorry, well, we're I'm all broke too, so I got no.
We're all working regular jobs, and this is in our few and far between rare free minutes.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Any support is greatly appreciated, and a big thanks to everybody who is already supporting. I mean, the feedback and the support already, right off the bat, has been phenomenal.
Right.
So
yeah.
Johnny, we'll circle back on this. We appreciate the time, dude. Much love and best of luck. We'll see you in the snow.
Yeah. Thank you to everybody who's helped make this happen. Thank you to you guys for starting this podcast. I think it's going to be a really important thing for our community because we all need to step up. No matter what you do, you have a purpose, and let's just connect more. We need more of, we need more connection, more community building. You know, it's.
Let's do it. Put the work in.
Let's do this.
Thank you, Johnny, for coming in. Thanks, really appreciate it.
Thank you all. Peace.
That was Johnny O'Connor of the Onboard Initiative. Check out their Instagram page, onboard.initiative. You're listening to the Hear Hear podcast, hosted by Jesse Novak, produced by Evan Gutcha. Thank you very much for listening.